Exodus 33. We'll stay in here if you want to take a nap. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in thy sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you'll help me to feed your people through the word. Help us to enjoy our journey with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember that Israel was an impatient people, and they had been called by God a stiff-necked people. We'd say hard-headed in the South. Bull-headed, hard-headed. They were stiff-necked people. They did things their own way. They were rebellious. They made the golden calf, and God was angry with them, and he spoke of their destruction. But Moses is their leader, and he interceded for them. Moses is a type of Christ. Moses was innocent of their transgression with the calf because he was up on the mountain with God when they made the golden calf and danced around it. Jesus is the only one that is innocent of sin. He's the only one who can intercede for us, the only one who could shed his blood and offer it for a sacrifice for our sins, because he's the only one that is innocent of sin. God said, it's time to move, Moses. It's time for you to go to the place that I told you of. And he said he would send his angel before him and drive out the Canaanite nations of people. There were 10 tribes of the Canaanite people: Hivites, Jebusites, Perizzites, all of different names that are given there. They're all Canaanite tribes of people that God was going to drive out for their sin and their wickedness and their immorality and all of that sort of thing. But he had promised that land to Abraham and to his descendants, and he would now desire to place them there. So first of all, in Exodus 33:7, while they're waiting to leave, Moses pitched the tabernacle outside the camp, away from the people, far out away from the camp, because God was angry with them because of their sin. People had sinned, and God would not come into their presence. In verse number 3, they were a stiff-necked people, and God would consume them in the way, he said. He would not come among them because of their sin, because they had rebelled and separated themselves from God in their sin. Now we're to enjoy our journey with the Lord, and to do that we must not allow sin to separate us from our fellowship with God. The Bible is clear in 1 John that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We're not to walk in the darkness of sinfulness, lest it break our fellowship with God. Doesn't break our relationship with God. There are tons of religious people that teach people, You can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost, and they have people so confused they couldn't tell you if they're saved or not, and they don't, you know if it's everlasting life, then how does it get turned off and on like a spigot? You know, it doesn't. You either have everlasting life or you don't have everlasting life. You're either saved or you're lost. And it's important that we recognize we're saved, and because of that, if we sin, it's like getting dirty. We need to confess it to God and get ourselves cleansed and get back in our walk with God and not let Satan make us discouraged and defeated and get out of fellowship and stay out of fellowship with the Lord. Thank God He's made that way that we can be cleansed and forgiven and restored in our fellowship with God. Moses went out to meet with God in verse number 9. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And Moses went out to commune with God at the tabernacle he had pitched. Now, go over to 1 John chapter 2 with me in your Bibles. You know this passage, and I just remind your pure minds tonight. 1 John chapter 2. Comparing Christ and Moses a little here. Moses as a type of Christ. God doesn't want us to sin, and God has provided for us so that we don't have to sin. 1 John 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So God's provided for us what we need so that we won't sin. He's given us the Bible, the Word of God. He's given us His Spirit to dwell within us, to bring conviction and to give guidance and direction and comfort. He has given us the church so that we can assemble ourselves together and learn the Word and serve Him by teaching others and helping others. We have fellowship with Christian people. We influence one another. I learned a lot of what I knew in my early days by fellowship with other Christian people. After Joy and I got saved, we'd go out to McDonald's or somewhere after church with three or four families that were in the church. And we'd stay out there till they started mopping up at night, you know. And every once in a while, one of the crowd there that hung out together, their wife would call the house of the other one and say, "Go out in the driveway and tell my husband to come home. He's out there talking to your husband, I'm sure, you know." And "Yeah, my husband's not here. He's out in the driveway talking to somebody. You know, well, that's my husband. You know, tell him to come home." 10, 11 o'clock at night. You're talking about the Bible. You're learning things. You're asking questions. You're getting fellowship. And that's a vital part of the Christian life in helping us be mentored and led along in the Christian faith. Service and responsibility helps us not to sin. When we see we have responsibilities to God and responsibilities to family, and service to the Lord. He also shows us the example, as He did with Israel here, and the death of the 3,000 as the sons of Levi went among them, that there are consequences for sin, consequences for our actions. We know the Bible is filled with the stories of people reaping as they have sown. And so those things are all given to us so that we won't sin. Yet after all this, we're still stiff-necked just like Israel, and we will sin. But God has made a way for us to be forgiven, a way for us to confess our sins and be restored, because Christ is our advocate with the Father, our lawyer, our go-between. Advocate, like the Holy Spirit as comforter, is one who's called alongside. If you take two men and one comes up and puts his arm around the other and says, "Brother, I'm here to stand with you and to help you and defend you in what you're facing here," that's what the Holy Spirit does for us as our comforter, and that's what Jesus does for us as our advocate with the Father. And God can and will forgive us and restore us, and we can rejoice because of that and stay in unbroken fellowship with God so that we can enjoy our walk with the Lord. Now, the people saw and respected Moses in a great way. When he went out of the camp, they stood at their tent door. They stood out of respect. They stood out of awe as they saw this man of God who could talk with God face to face, who could go up on the mountains of thundering and lightning where no one else could go and get the commandments from the Lord and meet with God. As great as Moses was, though, the book of Hebrews makes it very clear to us that Jesus Christ is superior to Moses. Turn over to Hebrews with me, chapter 3. Hebrews deals with a number of things that Jesus is superior in. He's superior to angels, and he's superior to Moses. In Hebrews 3 and verse number 1 through 12, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost has said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So Christ is superior to Moses, but we have similarities with the nation of Israel in our walk with God. And he warns us not to sin as they sinned in the wilderness, and to enjoy our journey with God and recognize that we're to follow Christ. Now back in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus in verse number 10, the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. When Moses went out in the cloudy pillar, the presence of God descended into the tabernacle, the people worshiped every man in his tent door. They bowed down to God. To ascribe worth, to prostrate oneself, to fall down before God, to worship. The people kept their eyes on Moses in verse number 8 of Exodus 33. And we must keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the leader of our Christian life, the race we run. And we need to keep our eyes on Him. I mentioned this a little bit in the message this morning. I was kind of stepping on my own toes on what I was going to speak on. That we run the race in Hebrews chapter 12. And it's a marathon. It's not a short distance race. It's not a sprint. The Christian life is a marathon. It's a race to be run with endurance and patience, long distance. A marathon is 26 miles because supposedly the runners from Marathon came to give the news of the battle being won, and they ran the whole distance of 26 miles from Marathon. And so that's why they call a marathon a 26 miles, and a half marathon is 13 miles, and then you got 5Ks and 10Ks, all that kind of stuff. I don't know what all that means. Somebody just told me this week when we were coming down the road in the car that Joy was talking about, I think, with Becca or something, that people have on the back of their cars about these circles with these numbers in it. That's how many miles they've run, you know, in these 10Ks and 5Ks and all that sort of thing. I know y'all didn't care about that. Well, we're to lay aside the things that beset us, the sin that besets us, to be beset is to be assaulted constantly, surrounded by the enemy, besetting sin, to be surrounded by the enemy. A ship in the ice loses control of its rudder, is at the mercy of the ice that has surrounded it, is beset by ice on every side. We are to run the race, and we're to run it with endurance and patience, the long distance, the Christian life, all of our days. Not something we just do on Sunday. Something we do all of our life, the Christian life. We keep our eyes on Jesus like they kept their eyes on Moses when he went out to the tabernacle. The people saw the cloud come down and the people worshiped. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we won't go astray. We'll follow Him. We'll avoid the dangers. We'll have provision from Him. You ever see these 26-mile marathons? They have all these tables set up on the side of the road. People are lining in the streets, cheering them on, and they hand them water, and somebody will run along beside them and give them water to get a couple of swigs, you know, and they got doctors, and some of them have problems with their feet and all that sort of thing. They sometimes out there in the news camera taking pictures of them and cheering them on. They had that one fellow in the Boston Marathon, you know, way back years ago that cheated. He finished the race, you know, faster than anybody had ever finished. Something ain't right about that. He looked too fresh when he ran across the finish line. So one of these cameramen, you know, news guys, he goes back and starts looking at all the footage they took of the race. Sure enough, they caught him. He's getting into a cab, you know, on the side of a street over there, you know, and then way back down the road, he gets out of the cab and then finishes the race, you know, wins the race. And he cheated. Well, that's not the way you get your provision. The Lord supplies your provision. He takes care of you, and He meets your needs when you run the race faithfully and with endurance and continue in the Christian life. That we enter not into temptations. He delivers us from evil. He guides us and directs us and comforts us, and He promises us a reward when we finish the race. And there'll be a reward for all those that love His appearing. The enemies may attack us. Those who follow Jesus may be under attack. Moses is going to lead Israel, and they were going to face enemies who would attack them. You remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress, how that when they got off the path, that there were all these ponds of despair and all of these things that could be a hindrance and a trouble like the Christian life. Allow the distractions to get our attention. We falter. We get injured. We must be careful to keep running the race. Have to be careful who you follow in the race. They didn't go astray by following Moses, and we won't go astray by following Jesus. Moses met with God, and Jesus at the right hand of the Father for us. Many years ago, I've told you all this story before. Many years ago, it was a terrible fog one morning. I made it up to Cherry Road, and the fog had set in so heavy you couldn't see anything in front of you. Barely see the red light, you know, when you got right under it. And I crossed Cherry Road, and when I crossed Cherry Road, a police officer turned off Cherry Road and turned on to Mount Gallant, just like I was going up Mount Gallant. And I thought, well, I see his taillights, I follow him. He's police, you know. He's got one of his big alternators and got heavy lights, you know, and a spotlight and all that stuff. You know, he probably stay on the road good, and I follow him. Well, went down just a little ways, and I wasn't getting too close to him, you know, just enough where I could see his taillights in the fog. And all of a sudden, it just looked like his car did something unnatural, and so I slowed way down. Sure enough, he was following a woman who was in front of him. She had run in the ditch, and he ran in the ditch right with her, you know. As soon as they got to a break in the road where a side road came in, you don't have the white lines on the side of the road. She was following the white lines, and when the white line wasn't there, she just kept veering off to the right and ran off in the ditch. He just followed right along with her, and fortunately, I slowed down enough so I didn't run in the ditch too. You've got to be careful who you're following, my friends. If we follow Jesus, He'll never lead us astray. But people can lead us astray. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Hebrews 10:24, let those who are in the race provoke unto love and good works, encouraging one another. And encouraging one another to be faithful to attend in Hebrews 10:24-25. We consider Christ who endured for us, lest we be wearied and faint. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep running the race with patience or endurance in the race. The Psalms tells us not to listen to the ungodly counsel, not to stand in the way of sinners, not to sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the Word of God and meditate in it day and night, and will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Be fruitful for God. Have the natural supply of the river stream if we don't allow ourselves to get in those paths and in those ways. Number three, back in Exodus 33, God communed with Moses face to face. He returned to the people in the camp. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will return for us. He's going to come again to us and take us to heaven to be with Him. Moses was coming back to the people in the camp. He'd went way out there to where he'd pitched the tabernacle, away from the camp because of their sin. But they could go out to the tabernacle to meet with God and to confess their sins and to offer their sacrifices. And when Moses went out there, the pillar descended down and God met with Moses and communed with him face to face. Boy, Moses is an amazing man, isn't he? We're going to get to meet him one day. We'll go to heaven. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of these Bible characters, Daniel. Daniel, what was it like to put your head on the mane of that stinking lion in the lion's den and just rest, not worried at all that he was going to eat you up, you know? And we'll get to meet all these folks one day. Moses is one of the great ones. Well, when Moses left the tabernacle and returned to the people, Joshua stayed in the tabernacle. Joshua is more our example. Moses is the type of Christ. Joshua is the type of the dedicated believer. It is Joshua who took over when Moses died. God made him the leader. He was the servant unto Moses, the captain of the army who fought the battles. And he later becomes the great leader. You see, he's our example here in that he stayed in the presence of God. And it's important that we stay in the presence of the Lord, that we walk with God, and if we stay in fellowship with Him, we'll enjoy the journey. And God will make us leaders for others if we'll be strong and courageous and meditate in the Word of God day and night. We'll be able to lead others to the place of rest. In Hebrews, we find Christ is superior to Moses. We found he was superior to angels. We also find he's superior to Joshua. His name means the same thing, Jehovah's salvation. Jesus from the Greek is the same as Joshua from the Hebrew, Yeshua. And it means God's salvation, Jehovah's salvation. And Joshua led the people into rest, but it was a temporary rest. Christ leads us into eternal rest when we walk with Him. Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight in the service and this day on Father's Day. I know that they all were tired today from the service and the dinner and the cleanup and the night service. And I just thank You for their faithfulness and pray You'll bless them and encourage them real good because of that. Bless Sam as he travels tomorrow. Lisa's going to camp and they're going to have a busload of about 20 altogether, counting a couple of adults and all of the kids. And so we pray that You'll protect them as they travel and keep them safe and encourage them. And then as they get to the camp, Lord, we're thankful that it's a staffed camp with all the workers that are necessary to run the camp all week and have a great time and a great week. And we offer You praise and thanks for this and ask for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. While our pianist plays a verse for us, Jeff, come and lead us in a song. And if you have God dealing with your heart, you want to come and pray, you're welcome to. Or if you need someone to counsel with you, we'll meet you up front if you'll come.